to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning, and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and this is our special hangover edition today. That's right, we're hungover because we're airing our Monday show on a Tuesday. Every once in a while, my obligations with racing and radio and everything else, kind of get in the way of our Monday show, and so we got to hang it over till Tuesday. Doesn't mean we're going to air anything any different today. We've got a full slate of interviews and content, let me tell you. Not only was I in Charlotte at the dirt track for a global rallycross over the weekend, got a chance to do some announcing and play-by-play, as well as another round of GRC live radio with my good friend and co-host Kate Osborne. We had Stadium Super Trucks triple header in Southern California, teaming up with the SanSport Super Show. That was just an epic event. I mean, anytime you're running a triple header of races, that, you know, 3 days in a row, that's just huge. And then we had the Lucas Oil Night Race for the Lores Series from Las Vegas. And not only that, we had some of those drivers flying back and forth coast to coast, like Bryce Menzies and Brian Deegan, to run the Global Rallycross Race. So, yeah, not to mention, we also crowned a European Rallycross champion, not to mention a Global Rallycross champion and a GRC Lights champion. And heading into the final rounds of Stadium Super Trucks, we've got a deadlock in the point standings in Stadium Super Trucks, not to mention all kinds of points battles going in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series as we wind that series down. So talk about storylines today. Also, later on in the show, we're going to have I did GRC live radio over the weekend. I encourage everyone to listen into that if you haven't already. But we're going to have kind of a best of GRC live radio. Had just so many great interviews on that show that we did yesterday. Well, I say yesterday, I'm so mixed up. Sunday morning, we had, you name it, Dave Mira, Scott Speed, Bucky Lassick, series points champion, Topi Häkkinen. I'm just losing track here. We had Stefan Verdier, Pat Morrow, and the brand new Chevrolet Sonic they just debuted in Charlotte. I don't know. I must have done a couple dozen interviews, not to mention lights racers like Jeffrey Sykes, who was on air last week. Just some great interviews. So later on in this show, we're gonna kind of recap and do some of the best of GRC Live Radio, some of those interviews. And before we get to any of that, calling in here in just a few minutes, my good friend Chris Leone from the Global Rallycross Series. He's our social media manager as well as writes a lot of press releases and stuff. This guy knows more about rallycross here in the United States and global rallycross than I think anyone in the world. He's absolutely the encyclopedia of global rallycross and just an all-around good guy. I love having him come on the show. He's going to be calling in just a few minutes, and we're going to kind of go through what happened at the dirt track at Charlotte, too. Just a great facility, great racetrack, great racing, and we're going to have a full event recap. Then we're going to get to some GRC results. We're going to have Lucas Oil Cup Stadium Super Trucks ERC Germany. We're going to have a product spotlight from my good friends at Race Tech Seats. That's right. You've heard their commercials on the show, probably seen their banner ads on the Down and Dirty Radio Show website. We had David Black, the owner of Race Tech Seats, on in the past from New Zealand. He was here for in the States for the V8 Supercar. So anyways, we're going to do a kind of a company spotlight, talk a little bit about Race Tech, their technology, their seats, a little bit of everything. Should be a cool spotlight. We're going to hit that right after the break, and then I can already tell you, next week we have a slam-packed show. Not only are we going to have Bryce Menzies, who, this weekend he ran Lucas Oil and ran Global Rallycross. This coming weekend, he's fighting for a Torque Championship, so he's running the Torque Series. Next Monday, Bryce is going to be calling in, and we're going to talk to Bryce. Not only that, we're going to have Carl Rennesetter calling in next week. I mean, the legend, Carl Rennesetter, probably, you know, one of the greatest short course drivers of all time, is going to be calling in. He's going to be live on air next week. Not only that, I'm 90% confirmed, and, you know, I don't normally announce a guest unless I'm 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure we're actually going to have GRC points, well, I say points leader, but he's got a lock on the championship. GRC from Finland next week. So talk about a slam show with Bryce Menzies, Topi Häkkinen, and Carl Rennesetter. So something to look forward to next week. And before we get to that, and we're going to get to my good friend Chris Leone, who's calling in, and we're going to talk a little bit of global rallycross from the dirt track. How's everything going, Chris?
I'm doing real well, Jim. How about you?
Oh, doing really well. So let me ask you, you know, you just heard me give the rundown on my guest next week. Obviously, Carl Rennesetter, one of the greatest short course drivers of all time. And to top that off, we're going to have Bryce Menzies and Topi Häkkinen on air. What do you think of that lineup?
I didn't know how you were going to top the Deegan, Robbie Gordon, Jeff Sykes show, but I think you've come real close.
Yeah, we're getting really lucky here with these interviews. They're just kind of dropping in my lap, and I got to be thankful because you know, not only you guys at Global Rallycross, but a lot of the other series they've been you know, and teams have been really you know, they've embraced this show, and it's made it really easy to you know, to get some of these interviews. But let's talk a little bit about Global Rallycross. Obviously, Charlotte, the dirt track. What's that?
Sorry, I'm just cutting in and out. I'm out of the home office and I'm getting some in and out. But yeah, absolutely. We had an incredible race at Charlotte on Sunday. You know, obviously Topi locked up the championship, and we had a surprise with Scott Speed winning the second race of the year. There was some great action out there. There was some great racing, and we were really, you know, excited to bring it to a national audience on ABC.
Yeah, it was just a great event. You know, last year it was at the Speedway. I think the move to the dirt track was, you know, a step in the right direction. I mean, they laid asphalt in the dirt track. I keep saying, you know, that's a huge move for Charlotte Motor Speedway to actually lay asphalt in the middle of an iconic venue such as the dirt track.
Absolutely. It was a really big deal. And they created one of the best courses that we were able to race on all season. You know, we had a good mix of dirt and asphalt. A lot of the guys who come from dirt expressed that they really liked having a track that only had, you know, some small asphalt sections, but those asphalt sections were still absolutely crucial. I mean, you saw a good amount of passing and a good amount of jostling for position when the cars actually left the track into, I believe it was 5 and 6, we labeled it, and definitely, you know, sliding onto that front stretch.
Yeah, for sure. I know, you know, they left the dirt track, went outside, and they jumped back in. To me, that was pretty cool. I mean, really changed it up from what we're used to. Kind of reminds me of some of the rally events in the X Games of the past when we were, you know, not around the Staples Center or Irwindale, where they're going in and out of, you know, the stadium there.
Absolutely. There was definitely something reminiscent about those old Home Depot Center events, and I'm sure some of the guys who took X Games medals out of those races really enjoyed that.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, let's break it down. Let's go to the lights before we get into the supercars. But just some great racing in the lights cars. I know everybody was amazed at the lap times these lights drivers were throwing down. I mean, very, very close to some of the supercar times.
Absolutely. I mean, with half the horsepower, these guys are still putting down speeds that would be competitive, you know, in the supercar class. Obviously, practice on Saturday was a little wet, and sometimes you're not able to get the horsepower down the same way. But we looked at the times, and had Mitchell DeYoung in particular been in the supercar, his lights time would have been the second fastest. He would have only been behind Dave Mira, who had one of the fastest cars all weekend. But, yeah, you know, it was a big weekend for lights, not only because Yoni Wieman, who's been on another level, finally locked up the championship with his fifth consecutive win, the only guy who's won a lights race to this point, but we had the first lights driver actually get in and shake down a supercar. Mitchell DeYoung was pinch hitting for Bryce Menzies, who wasn't able to be there on Saturday, and so Mitchell, obviously with practice being rained out, he couldn't get on the track proper, but, you know, they took it out to a parking lot, and Mitchell started shaking the car down for that team.
Yeah, and you know, I think what do you think the odds are here? I know, you know, nothing's been confirmed from any parties, but just a guesstimation. I mean, let's say in the next 12 months, what do you think the odds are Mitchell DeYoung makes at least one appearance in a supercar?
I think they're very good. I think that he's obviously got the talent. He's obviously got the support behind him. He's got everything lined up. But the other thing that works to his advantage is, you know, because he's just turned 16, he's got a lot of time to put together the perfect program, and we're definitely looking forward to having him step up someday. I think he's going to be a great asset to the supercars field someday.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you know, Yoni Wiemann, I mean, I don't think anybody in, you know, live supercars or that follows rallycross that doesn't think this kid deserves a shot at a supercar. You know, I know along with his championship comes a test with Ulfsburg Motorsports, OMSE. You know, what do you think the odds are that we're going to see Yoni in a supercar next year?
I think we're definitely going to push for it. I mean, if you don't have a development system with the champion and the top development class gets a ride the next year, then your development system, you know, isn't all the way there. And we want ours to be all the way there. So we absolutely want Yoni to be in a supercar on the series side. I think he's earned it. I think he's deserved it. He's in a class of his own in those cars. I think he can certainly handle his own in them. I mean, having Marcus Grönholm on his side as his mentor has definitely been a huge asset. And he's been, you know, it's been absolutely unreal watching him drive. He's just as good as a lot of supercar drivers right now, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's just as good, if not, you know, better than some of them. Switching forward to supercars, let's talk a little bit about that event. I mean, obviously, you know, to me, you know, this was all kinds of news. I mean, you know, we had Chevy coming in, we had Verdier coming back. You know, probably one of the biggest storylines everybody was reading about was Dave Mirra. Obviously, huge. You know, he's been with Subaru his entire career, starting with Stage Rally. Now he moves to Mini, in which was you know, a one-off event. We're hoping to see him at SEMA in a Mini again. But, you know, that was huge having Dave in that car. It looks like he took to it like, you know, a fish does to water.
Absolutely. Having Pro Drive, having such an experienced race team, not only in World Rally, but in Formula One, in sports car racing, you know, they've done everything in just about any form of motorsport. Having them on his side was huge for him. And you could tell how excited Dave was the entire weekend. You can tell how fast the car was. You can tell that everything was just coming together for Dave to really give him an opportunity that he had never had to be a contender, to be running up front, to have one of the fastest cars. And, you know, unfortunately, the results don't tell the real story of the weekend. Dave, you know, Dave was first in the Saturday practice, as we mentioned. He qualified second. He had a great start in Heat 2B, even though he had in 1B, he had wrecked going to the lead with Travis Pastrana. He started on the outside from the second row, and he made a clean start. And unfortunately, in the heat of battle, you know, it was called a jump start. They went back and reviewed it, and he said it wasn't. And, you know, we're human. We make mistakes. But Dave drove his heart out, and, you know, we were happy to see him really running as well as he was for most of the weekend.
Yeah, I know, talking with Dave, I mean, it was just, everybody was almost laughing because, you know, Dave's always, he's a really likable guy and really, you know, he's there and he talks with everybody. He's not one of those that goes and hides. I mean, he's really accessible. And, you know, I think everybody in the paddock area was happy to see Dave with such a glow on his face. I mean, you know, I've seen Dave, you know, off and on this year, and he had just a mile-wide grin on his face. And to me, that's exciting when you see a driver that's that excited about getting in a race car for a race. You know, it gets, you know, you instantly become a fan.
Absolutely. I mean, Dave was just so jazzed up to be in that car. It was a hometown race for him. He's from Greenville. You know, there was a lot of family there. Obviously, he had Four Papa Coin on his car. Lauren's grandfather, Dave's wife, Lauren, her grandfather had passed away, and so they were kind of running the race in his honor, and, you know, they had a lot of family there. It was a really big deal. It was a big event for them. You know, they were giving out promotional T-shirts, and they were giving out wristbands, and, you know, it was really, really cool to see Dave especially, because you know, sometimes the Subaru hasn't had the greatest luck, and obviously the results show that he didn't have the best luck at the end with the Mini either, but just they were so into that event, and that was awesome to see.
Yeah, and, you know, I know it's been, you know, it's been speculated. It's all over the internet by now, so it's not like we're breaking any news, but, you know, Mini's been pretty straightforward in, you know, ProDrive/Mini, you know, that they want to run a second vehicle next year and have, you know, a team of obviously Liam and somebody else. I mean, after what we saw at Charlotte, I mean, you know, what do you think? I think the odds are pretty good that we may see, you know, funding permitted, see Mir in that seat.
I think it's a great fit. I think, like you said, Dave took to that car like a fish to water. You know, that would give them a great chance to be able to run up front. You know, obviously everybody knows what Liam can do with the car. Liam took the car to a first place and a second place in Munich. And that car, for the record, that car that Dave was driving, the same car that Liam was driving, that's actually the car that ProDrive, that was the very first World Rally car that they had built, they told me. And that was the one that on British Top Gear, for any fans of that, that they actually sent off of the ski jump a few years back. So that car, you know, is just one of the most versatile cars in the paddock. And I know you've seen some cars convert over the course of the year, such as Stefan Verdier's car that he ran this year at X Games. The Subaru, the older Subaru, was his GRC car in 2011. But going back even further, it used to be his Formula Drift car.
Yeah, it's, you know, and then you've got, you know, the whole Ken Block hybrid car that, you know, he's had in the past that, you know, he still runs it in stage rally. Obviously, he's running the M-Sport car now, but, you know, he's done rallycross and he's done stage rally and he's done Gymkhana in it. And, you know, to me, that's what's, you know, interesting about some of these GRC cars is, you know, the diversity that, you know, allows these drivers to do these different events, especially, you know, Gymkhana Grid. I mean, these guys, you know, went back-to-back days at X Games, you know, Gymkhana Grid to GRC with these cars.
Absolutely. I mean, the cars are versatile. The cars are just as versatile as the drivers, and that's really saying something given, you know, the amount of talent that these guys have in so many different things, whether it's different forms of motorsport or different forms of action sports.
Yeah, so a couple other quick storylines that we had in the event. Obviously, the reemergence of two different guys, Stefan Verdier, in the Hyundai, which, you know, are very fast-style cars that are built by Reese Millen. And then we also had Pat Morrow in a debut in the Chevy Sonic.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking to Stefan, he got fourth place in Charlotte. Charlotte's been good to him. Last year he finished third in a car with half the horsepower of everybody else. And, you know, he was just lucky. He was telling me that they had great wheels in the car because he didn't deal with any punctures all weekend. You know, and just in the final, even though he had stalled on the first lap of the restart, you know, he just picked his way through the field. Obviously, Ken was on three tires. Steve Arpin was on three tires. So those guys were, you know, easy for him to pass. Bucky Lassick didn't have power steering for the majority, if not all, of the nine laps in the final. And then, you know, the other cars, he was able to get by, no problem. And, you know, a fourth place finish for that team coming back. You know, it's their second fourth place in a row for Reese Millen's team out of the two entries they've done this year because Reese got fourth at X Games. And then speaking to Pat Morrow, yeah, as you said, obviously the debut for the Chevy Sonic. And, you know, with GRC, we're really excited to be able to say that the big three American manufacturers are all in the sport now. You know, obviously Ford has had a great presence and obviously Dodge with Travis and Bryce. But now you've got the Chevy, and that's something that NASCAR can't say right now, and that's something that IndyCar can't say right now. And to us, that's just really cool. And Pat came home 11th this weekend. Obviously, you know, you'd always like to finish as high up in the order as you can, but Pat brought it home 11th. You know, the car was a little beaten up, but, you know, for a debut weekend, when they're just trying to find the pace and actually compare it to some of the other cars, really shake it down and, you know, get the monkey off their back, as Pat was saying. You know, I think that's a successful weekend for them, just as a start.
Well, yeah, and in talking with Pat, you know, I think these last two rounds, they, you know, they could have waited and debuted the car next season. I think they really wanted to push and get it to these two rounds just to see where they stood, you know, and to see, you know, compare things and know what they need to do in the off season to actually make a run at the championship next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be able to have Chevrolet manufacturer support for them, I think would be huge. Chevy has built the motors for them. They had GM engineers, you know, at the track. And for Pat, that's huge. And, you know, speaking with somebody who just likes seeing the privateers get some sort of manufacturer support, you know, for Pat, that's kind of like living the dream, you know? You know, you've actually stepped up. You actually have a little bit of manufacturer backing. Obviously, the car had big Sonic logos down the side. You know, they're really looking to make that program a force and a competitor in 2014 and definitely beyond.
Yep. And earlier you talked about two different drivers that both ended up having cut tires. Obviously, Ken Block. I mean, he's had nine heat wins this year, which I think is tops in all of global rallycross. And then also Steve Arpin. I mean, you know, this guy is really coming around as a rallycross racer.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to feel bad for Ken just because he always has it together in the heat races. You know, nine heat wins. That car is just incredibly fast, and Ken just has the worst luck in the final. I don't know who he frustrated up above or something, but somebody just, you know, it's just these forces seem to be coming together, and he just doesn't have the luck to win right now, which is a shame because, you know, a Ken win would be incredibly popular with everybody. It'd make for a great show. It'd make for, you know, a lot of happy fans. It'd make for a great TV broadcast. But, yeah, you're absolutely right about Steve. Steve has really, really adjusted well to these cars. He's had three top fives this year, you know, which a lot of guys aren't going to expect that from somebody who they'd think of as a NASCAR driver, but as Steve will tell you, he's raced everything from dirt modified to bathtub boats, and so he can adapt to just about anything, and he's starting to do really, really well in these cars. He was definitely fast.
Yeah, I think, out of everybody, you know, out of everybody in rallycross, I think this year, you know, Steve Arpin has made, the biggest improvement. I mean, at Atlanta, he looked very good. I mean, coming here to Charlotte, he was, one of the fastest in qualifying. He's definitely, stepping up his game.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's a fan favorite. He's so great with people. He's such a great people person. When we had an appearance at the Children's Hospital of Atlanta before that race, you know, they picked two drivers to go. They picked Tanner Faust, because, you know, Tanner's the defending champion and one of our biggest personalities, and they picked Steve because he's so great with people. You know, he's a sponsor's dream, and he's really putting it together on the racetrack as well.
Yeah, for sure. So moving forward here, I haven't looked at exactly, but I think we're about maybe 5-6 weeks out from Las Vegas. What do you think heading into Las Vegas? What should we expect there?
I would definitely say to expect a larger field than we've had for most of the season. You know, for the finale, everybody wants to get out there. I know that the PMR Motorsports guys are working really hard on building a second Chevy Sonic to get out there. I'm sure that Reese Millen really wants to get out there with him and Stefan. I think that anybody who can try to put together a ride possibly for this race is going to do everything in their power to do it. And I think, you know, if you rounded up everybody who really wants a ride in this race, and if they were all lucky enough to get it, I think you could see 20 cars. You know, there are so many people who are pushing. There are so many people who want to be in this sport so badly. There are so many people that are just so excited about it and looking forward to have a chance to compete that, you know, I think they're all going to push for it. One of the interesting things that people may have heard about on Thursday when we had an open test session is that it was only briefly and it was only for a few laps, but Kurt Busch actually stopped by and drove the 77 car for a few laps, you know, in between some of the media ride-alongs that Travis was doing and some of the other guys getting a little bit of testing. And I believe it was Jarrett Johnson that actually stepped into the 12 for Nelson Piquet while Nelson was running at Kentucky on Saturday, you know, just shaking the car down as well. There are a lot of guys who have a lot of interest in that series, in GRC, and I think a lot of them are really going to push hard to put together rides for Vegas. You know, I can't promise Kurt Busch, but I heard that he really liked the car.
Yeah, that would be interesting, getting somebody, you know, like Kurt Busch over here to the GRC side of things and see how he competes. You know, anybody, him, Tony Stewart, you name it, I think, Jimmy Johnson's got the dirt background. You know, with off-road, I think he would be a great candidate for for a seat, at least for a one-off, I think, you know, that would be exciting. You know, I've heard rumors, you know, talking with Chip and stuff. I mean, it's common knowledge now. GRC Vegas is going to move locations a little bit down the strip to a bigger area. So it sounds like it's going to be a little more wide-open course than we saw last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, detailed announcements are still forthcoming on that, you know, just to be able to put things officially in writing. But we're working diligently on it. We're going to put together the best possible show that we can, you know, as always. It's always been a priority for us to, you know, finish the season strong. And obviously the finale at SEMA last year provided some great excitement with Tanner Faust and Brian Deegan. And while the championship is locked up, Tanner and Brian are 2 points within one another per second. So you know that they're still going to be, you know, fighting each other tooth and nail for that position. You know, every position counts.
Well, and I think, you know, heading into Vegas, it, you know, with both the lights and the Supercar championships already, you know, wrapped up, I think, you know, to be honest with you, nobody has anything to lose. You know, Toppy and Yanni included, I think you're going to see every driver, you know, it's going to be all or nothing. I think it could be really, really exciting.
That's definitely an accurate assessment. I mean, there are so many guys who, if they don't win this race in Vegas, they're going to walk out of the season winless. I mean, every lights driver except Rioni, of course. But, you know, Tanner, obviously, since he had the last lap incident in New Hampshire, obviously he doesn't have anything in the win column right now. Brian Deegan doesn't have anything in the win column right now. Ken Block, as we discussed earlier, doesn't have anything in the win column right now. Travis, even though he's only run, you know, a partial schedule, so that's fewer chances for him. You know, Dave, Sverre Isaksson, just some big names, some good drivers who are really, really hungry for a win. And, you know, Toppy's just been taking all of them, and then Scott has two and Liam has one. But there are so many guys who are going to be fighting for that last race victory that you're absolutely right. They're going to go all out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air, Chris, and keep up all the great content on Global Rallycross's website. I mean, it's just some great stuff you guys are pumping out there, and I know you've got a lot more planned.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. It's always great to work with you on race weekends, and we're definitely going to have a lot of content on the GRC website and all of the social media as well. We're looking at some great stuff this week. Twitter is at Global Rally X. Instagram is the same. Facebook.com/Global Rallycross. And, of course, global-rallycross.com for all the latest news.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Take it easy, buddy.
You too. Take care, Jim.
All right. All right, that was Chris Leone. He's a Global Rallycross social media manager, as well as, you know, he writes a lot of articles and stories, a kind of a journalist for Global Rallycross out at every single event. Just a great guy, and like I said, very knowledgeable on the sport of rallycross. Good guy to have call in and help me with these event recaps. So before we cut to a break, we'll cut through the quick results. But GRC Lights, obviously, Yanni Weeman wrapped up that championship in the Light Series, fifth straight win. You know, he's probably going to be gunning for number six at Vegas, I would assume, to try and take that record away from Toppy, who got knocked out. You know, his streak got ended here in Charlotte at five. So, yeah, Yanni Weeman taking the win at Charlotte. We had Jeffrey Sykes, our guest last week on air, taking a second place. His best finish of the year. Sebastian Eriksson taking the third spot. Mitchell DeYoung, short course racer turned rallycrosser, taking the fourth spot. Mitchell, lightning fast. I tell you, walking around the paddock area, this kid's earned a lot of respect in the sport of rallycross for how well he has progressed this year. Alexander Westland in fifth, Harry Chung sixth, Kevin Eriksson seventh, Austin Dine, the stock car racer in eighth, and Tyler Benson in ninth. So your championship looks like Yanni Weeman's got a hold of that first spot, but we've got a shootout. Austin Dine and Kevin Eriksson with 65. So top sections in the championship still very much up for grabs, and I think in Vegas you're going to see these kids all going out. They, you know, all of them are winless except for Yanni, so you're going to see a battle there. Going up to the supercars, we had Scott Speed obviously taking the win, the hometown boy, second of the year. In favor of Scott just because he's the hometown boy. Brian Deegan with another second place. He's quietly got a lot of podiums this year. He's just never found the top of the box. I think that definitely could be coming to Vegas, especially after the great run he had at Vegas last year. We got Toby Häkkinen finishing third. He took home the Sylvania Cup, that $20,000 check for the four speedway events. And he also took home the Global Rallycross Championship. You know, it's clinched up with one round to go. We had Stefan Verdier in the Reese Millen Hyundai making his reappearance, taking home a fourth place. Steve Arpin, very fast all weekend long, fifth. We had Bucky Lassick with his second final of the year in sixth. Ken Block, seventh. Spare Isaacson, eighth. Travis Brana getting knocked out on the first lap in the first lap of the final in ninth, and Tanner Faust in tenth. And you know, Tanner didn't make the final. You know, those of you that didn't watch it on TV, you got to watch this crash and go to Global Rallycross's social media. It's all over. Good friend Matt Kalish, who is the photographer for Global Rallycross, caught an amazing shot of Tanner upside down mid flip. That's on their social media. It's this Ford Fiesta ST, literally, you know, rolling over upside down in the air. Just a great shot by Matt, and you're going to want to check that out. So, yeah, obviously, Toppy's got the championship clinched up. We've got a battle going for that second spot. We've got, you know, Tanner, Brian Deegan, and a few others all battling to try and take home that spot. I think Ken's in the mix as well, and should be exciting moving forward, especially with SEMA about a month and a half away. You know, see what happens there at the SEMA round. I mean, it was some of the best racing of the year last year. I think we're definitely going to see that happen again this year. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be all about Lucas Oil Stadium Super Trucks, and we're going to have a Race Tech Seat Spotlight. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink.
Hey everybody, it's the Built Ford Tough sales event. This is your chance to save big on F-150 and Super Duty. Head to your Arizona Ford dealers today for amazing deals on a huge assortment of fuel-zipping trucks with powerful EcoBoost technology. Now, for a limited time only, you can get F-150 or Super Duty with 0% financing for 60 months. That's right, an F-150 or Super Duty with 0% financing for 60 months. You don't want to miss these deals. The Built Ford Tough sales event ends soon, so hurry in. Visit your Arizona Ford dealers today for a test drive, or go to yourlocalforddealers.com for more information. Ford F-150. Built Ford Tough. 60 months at $16.67 per month for 1,000 financed, regardless of down payment. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/13. See dealer for residency restrictions, qualifications, and complete details.
Imagine shredding the water on your wakeboard without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Bluewater Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Bluewater Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels, from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina, and coming soon to Bluewater Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Companies can call themselves an industry leader. Race Tech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Race Tech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Race Tech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Race Tech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with a full recap of Global Rallycross from Charlotte, Motor Speedway at the dirt track. So just a great event. Thanks to Chris for calling in and giving us all of that insider information on Global Rallycross. Right now we're going to skip forward and talk a little bit of off-road racing with Lucas Oil and Stadium Super Trucks. So with that, I want to talk a little bit about Race Tech Seats, a good partner of mine, the people at the company, just all in all, great people. Wanted to talk a little bit about this company because they're really making inroads in this U.S. market. Obviously, we had the owner of Race Tech Seats, David Black, on air about, 2 months or so back. He was stateside from New Zealand. Right to the Race Tech, a New Zealand-based company. He was here for the inaugural V8 Supercars event at that great facility in Austin, Texas. So I had a chance to have him on air and talk about it. And, you know, I've talked with him quite a bit since then, read a lot of articles on the company. And, you know, in this company, it really is such a dynamic company. It's a small boutique-type company. And, you know, those of you who don't understand what I mean by boutique, but you know, it's one of those, they haven't got real big. It's not that they couldn't, but they're smaller, and it gives them a lot of flexibility in the manufacturing process. They're not, say, you know, like some of these other safety manufacturers who make seats, suits, helmets, gloves, shoes, you know, an entire product line, belts, everything else. You know, they've pretty much stayed with just seats, and it's really given them flexibility to one, produce some of the safest seats in the world, but two, it's allowed them to not only make the safest seats in the world, but it's given them flexibility in the manufacturing process to adapt quicker than others. You know, when you get so big, you know, to make a small change, it costs a lot of money. But when you're smaller, you know, it allows you to adapt really quick, and those big changes to, say, a product don't cost quite as much. So they've been very, very successful. You know, they've got numerous teams in the World Rally Car, you know, World Rally Championship running them. Obviously, the V8 Supercars, they've got touring cars running their seats. I think I heard something, V8 Supercars, like every single team except for maybe two cars are in a Race Tech seat. So, you know, that tells you the caliber of these seats. And you're asking me, well, you know, obviously they're FIA certified. What makes these seats so special? And I got to tell you, you know, seeing the reports and you know, and about the seats and the company and you know, how the seats are designed, it's unlike any other seat on the market. And I can honestly, you know, say that when you do your research, you know, obviously all these seats mount to the floorboard of a car. But what makes these so dynamic is most seats mount to a floorboard and then that's it. You know, and when you're in a crash or you know, an accident with heavy G's, it puts a lot of strain on those mounts on the floor. You know, mounts tend to break, you know, crack, fracture. It puts a, you know, in a seat, it allows the seat to twist. You know, in some of these carbon fiber seats, you know, you put enough strain on them and you can twist that carbon fiber. You know, what Race Tech has done is obviously the seats mount to the floor like your standard seat would, but they've also got integrated mounts into the back of the seat. It allows these seats to mount directly to your roll cage and your chassis. What that does is it's two different things. Mounting there, it gives you, one, a shared load. You know, when you're in a heavy impact, it not only puts the strain on the floorboard mounts of the seat, but it also directs it through the chassis in the back of the seat, you know, to the roll cage and the remainder of the seat. So instead of having, you know, 100% of the force on those floor mounts, you're now spreading the load over multiple mounts, which means, you know, less stress on each individual mount. And not only that, it makes the seat more rigid. You don't have that flexibility, and by making it more rigid, what it does is it actually makes these drivers, me included. I got one in the number 15 trophy truck. What we've been able to, you know, feel as a driver is that you have a better feel of the car as a whole. It's almost like, you know, with a seat becoming part of the chassis, you can. To me, it feels like I can feel more of what's happening. You know, and as a driver, it's all about becoming one with the car. And I believe that these seats, you know, help you become one with the car a little easier than, say, a seat that mounts just flat to the floor. You know, not only that, they have a lot of features. You can get them in, you know, carbon fiber. You can get them, you know, FIA certified. They've got a range of, you know, seats for every application. You know, I've got one that actually has the integrated head restraints. Not a lot of guys in off-road are running those. I think it's the trend for the future, and you're going to see a lot of drivers move to that. You know, I'm always one that tries to be on the bleeding edge of safety as far as, you know, off-road racing goes. And I'm one that, you know, likes to integrate these new features into my truck, you know, before anyone else does, because the end of the day, if I get in a crash, you know, I want to be able to, you know, go home to my wife and my daughter. You know, not to say that these other guys don't, but I've always been one overkill. You know, I was one wearing a head and neck restraint before, you know, a lot of people were. I was, you know, I've gone to, you know, different restraint styles before anyone else. You know, I'm overkill with the fire suppression. You know, I'm, you know, one-layer suit is required. I wear a three-layer suit. You know, I wear Nomex socks and underwear when other drivers don't. You know, and so I felt like, you know, these Racetech seats are kind of a logical progression in what I like to do, and very happy with it. Not to mention a unique feature that nobody else in the world is doing is these things have a pumper on them. They're air-conditioned. Who's heard of an air-conditioned race seat before? Not many people. But I can tell you that that these seats are, you know, are air-conditioned, almost like you would have in, you know, say a Lincoln Navigator or something. Is very cool. And those of you that are stock car racers or off-road racers are very familiar with helmet pumpers. You know, you've got that pumper that pumps fresh air into your helmet. Well, these use a port on the back of the seat, similar, you know, pretty similar to a, say, one for your pumper for your, you know, for your helmet. What you do is you hook that tube up to the seat. The seat's got channels in it, and it channels cool, fresh air around your body. So, say I'm at Vegas to Reno, and it's got you being pumped around my body like an air-conditioned seat. Very cool, and nobody else doing it. So, yeah, I just thought, you know, this is a great company. You know, they're a partner of mine. You know, and I really thought that I need to expose you guys to these products and let you know what they've got going, because it really is dynamic. Check them out. Racetech-USA.com. You know, they've got a you know, Racetech Facebook page. You can find them from my Facebook page, or just do a search. I mean, just a great company. Check out their products, Racetech-USA.com, and find out more info. And they're very quick on the draw about getting back to your email and stuff like that. A big sponsor of Rally here in the United States. Big sponsor of the Bilstein Southwest Rally Series. Here in the Southwest United States, you know, they're starting to get involved in off-road racing. And like I said, you know, they've got drivers in V8 supercars, touring cars, World Rally Championship, you know, drag racing, huge in the drag racing market. They've got a seat for all your needs. So check them out, racetech-usa.com. So now getting on to a little bit of off-road coverage. We had not only we have Lucas Oil Off-Road Series, we have Robbie Gordon Stadium Super Trucks triple header at the SandSports Super Show. I don't know many series that would attempt a triple header. You know, that's huge. A triple header is just, it's unheard of in anything. I mean, in any kind of sport. Robbie, you know Robbie, he does stuff that nobody else does. So round 11, they had rounds 11, 12, and 13 tying in with the SandSports Super Show in Costa Mesa, California. This weekend, it was, you know, it's a great track. It's a mix of asphalt, dirt, and a ton of dirt laid it on that asphalt. Lots of huge jumps. Looked all in all just like a wild course. So the opening round Friday night, we had Robbie Gordon taking the win, Keegan Kincaid in second, Abdeli Lopez in third, Reno Navera in fourth, and Justin Lofton rounding out your top five. We had a lot of your Stadium Super Trucks regulars were hooked in with the Lucas Oil Series. Sheldon Creed, Rob McCachran. So they were showing up later in the weekend or not running at all and had fill-in drivers. So we go to round 12, Saturday. Justin Lofton taking the win, Robbie Gordon in second, Abdeli Lopez third, Keegan Kincaid fourth, and PJ Jones rounding out your top five. Then it gets interesting because we go to Sunday's event, and obviously we had Friday and Saturday night Lucas Oil night races. All the Lors regulars were now in you know, in the Stadium Super Truck. So we had a packed field, added quite a few more drivers, and we had Sheldon Creed taking the big win on Sunday. We had Justin Lofton in second, PJ Jones third, Robbie Gordon fourth, Keegan Kincaid in fifth, another youngster, Brock Heger, finishing in eighth, and we had none other than BJ Baldwin making his Stadium Super Trucks debut this year. He ran the inaugural event at Crandon last year, which was kind of you know, a demonstration exhibition, but BJ running really, really well in that Stadium Super Truck, in the King Shox truck. Ended up having some problems with his tires and ended up finishing in ninth, but I think he was definitely slated for a top five until that happened. And then we had Craig Potts, Scotty Steele, 11th and 12th. So all in all, looks like a great weekend of racing and triple header for Robbie Gordon's Speed Energy Stadium Super Truck Series. Puts our point standings with a deadlock for that first and second spot, with Rob McCachran not competing this weekend with his Lucas Oil obligations. He's at 375 points in first place. You got Robbie in second place, 3 points behind, 372 points. Only 3 points separate Rob McCracken and Robbie Gordon. We got Justin Lofton in third, 80 points back. And don't forget, I believe it's a $500,000 purse for the Stadium Super Trucks Championship this year. You know, these drivers won. I guarantee you Robbie's wanting to win because he doesn't want to pay anybody his money. And Rob McCracken, I mean, that's a huge chunk of change there. I don't know if it's going to go to Rob or to Traxxas. Regardless, that's a lot of money. So, yeah, it's going to be a wild one. The final race is to be determined. I've heard rumors. Obviously, we had Robbie on air last week. You know, we've heard rumors of a Tijuana round. I'm also hearing rumors that he's going possibly head-to-head with the Global Rallycross Championship in Vegas running across town the same night. So where is this this final race? Maybe we're going to have two more, maybe one in Tijuana and one in Vegas. I don't know. We're looking at one or two more rounds of to be determined. So I'll let you know as soon as we find out. But all in all, it's like a great event for SST at the SanSports Super Show. Now going to Lucas Oil from Las Vegas. We ran Friday and Saturday night there. Starting with the Pro Buggies, the Pro Buggy Main Friday night. Man, sorry, getting tongue-tied there. Buggy Main on Friday night. Looks like Bradley Moore is taking the win. Stephen Grinke in second. Jeffrey Cooley third. Dave Mason in fourth. And Kevin McCulloch in fifth place. So going to Pro Buggy Main on Saturday. I almost said Sunday there. See, these night races got me a little bit confused. We had Steve Grinke taking the win. Dave Mason in second. Bradley Moore is third. Kevin McCulloch in fourth, and Jeffrey Cooley rounding out your top five. So skipping up to Pro Lights, and man, we still got those last chance qualifiers in effect in the Pro Light because it's got so big. Looks like we have Brian Deegan taking the big win, Sheldon Creed in second, Casey Currie third, Bradley Morrison fourth, Jimmy Fishback. God, I love that name, Jimmy Fishback. You know, obviously I'm Jimmy, but Fishback, just a cool cool name. It reminds me of, you know, those of you familiar with jet ski racing from like 15 years ago. I know we're throwing it way back to like the 90s here, but, you know, jet ski racing, when it got hugely popular earlier, there was a guy, Chris the Fish Fischetti. You know, it kind of reminds me of that. You know, it's like, you know, what happened to that guy? I mean, he was, you know, he was the Travis Pastrana of jet ski racing back in the day, Chris the Fish Fischetti. You know, what happened to a guy like that? You know, he had all these corporate endorsements and everything else, and, you know, kind of fell off face of the earth. My guess is he made got and sit on a bike somewhere and probably not doing a whole lot of anything. So that's an interesting one. You guys pull up Chris the Fish Fischetti on Google and see what pops up. It should be interesting. I'm kind of excited to see. But we had Chris Branton sixth, Oscar Rodriguez taking home seventh. You know, I think our good friends over there at Lone Mart, Oscar, that's a great finish for him. Probably one of his Justin Dean Smith. In 19th place, looks like he had some problems, quite a few laps down. All right, we're going to Pro Light Main on Saturday night. We had R.J. Anderson with the win, Brian Deegan in second, Sheldon Creed in third, Bradley Morris fourth, Casey Currie fifth, Jimmy Fishback sixth, Aaron Daughtry seventh, Mikey Lawrence in eighth, Cody Raiders ninth, and Trenton Briley rounding out your top ten. So skipping up to the Pro 2 class Friday night, we had Marty Hart with the big win. Marty having a great run this year. We had Rob McCracken in second. Carl Rennedetter in third, one of our guests next week. None other than Carl Rennedetter. Definitely looking forward to that. Ryan Beat in fourth. Larry Miner fifth. Patrick Clark sixth. Kyle LeDuc seventh. Matt Cook eighth. Robbie Woods ninth. And Rodrigo Ampudia rounding out your top ten. Other notable, Brian Deegan down there in 11th, and Bryce Menzies down there in 14th. Both of them, after that race, for Deegan and Bryce. Looks like on Saturday, we had Carl Rennedetter. We had Rob McCracken in second, Bryce Menzies third, Brian Deegan in fourth, and Greg Adler in fifth. Marty Hart sixth, Kyle LeDuc seventh, Rodrigo Ampudia eighth, ninth went to Patrick Clark, and tenth went to Ryan Beat. So going up to Pro 4, the big dogs, Friday night. Looks like we had Carl Rennesetter with the big win in Pro 4, having such a dominating year this year. Kyle LeDuc second, Todd LeDuc third, Eric Barron in fourth, and Ryan down there in eighth, and Rob McCacken way down there in 10th position. Pro 4 main on Saturday. Rob McCacken making a comeback, taking home the win. We had Carl Rennesetter in second, Todd LeDuc third, Ryan Beat fourth, Jerry Daughtry in fifth, and good friend Corey Weller down there in eighth, and Kyle LeDuc in ninth. So Kyle having a rough weekend there in Vegas. Looks like Carl Rennesetter having a great weekend. Brian Deegan a great weekend. So, yeah, lots of action in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series this weekend. Got one round left, Lake Elsinore, the big cup race. And don't forget, that one's going to be live on MAV TV here in a couple of weeks. So definitely looking forward to that and the final round. And live on TV, anytime you got off. You know, I'll get you all the times and, you know, and schedule and stuff like that, because you're definitely going to want to tune in and catch that stuff. Catch that stuff live. So, I don't know. It's been a busy, busy weekend for me. You know, Lucas Oil racing, and we had Stadium Super Trucks. Obviously, I was at the Global Rallycross in Charlotte. But, we had some European Rallycross happening this weekend as well, and it looks like not only did Global Rallycross hand Topi Häkkinen in the title, and Yanni Weimann obviously the lights title, but we had Timur Zanov taking home the European Rallycross title this weekend over there in Germany. So it's an interesting note. 41 years the European Rallycross Championship has been going on. Timur is the first ever title winner that wasn't able to take a victory during the entire season. So, interesting note. I mean, Timur's had a great year when he's filling in for Strana, you know, in Global Rallycross, and obviously a great year in European Rallycross as well. Let's get Alexander Haval taking home the win in his Strawn. Andreas Backerud also had a great great season there in ERC. He's in second. Liam Dorn in third. Timur finishing in fourth. And Stig Olive Alfredson finishing in fifth, Petter Stolbe sixth, Genie seventh, Peter Hedstrom eighth, Anton Marklin in ninth, and Mats Oman rounding out your top ten. So, a couple other notables. We had Andy Scott, you know him from GRC last year. He was down there in 15th position, and, disappointing. Didn't see Sebastian living in ERC car again this weekend, but each his own. Randy Nittis, he got crowned ERC Super 1600, which is, you know, their version of GRC Lights. He was their champion. He actually took off this round, and I believe the next round in Vegas. We might see him in a Lights car, but I know he wasn't in Charlotte because he was in a title hunt in the, you know, in European Rallycross. So he took that title. Maybe we'll see him in Vegas back in his GRC Light car. I don't know. It's to continued. But we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have Best of GRC Live Radio. That's right. Some great interviews with my co-host Kate Osborne on GRC Live Radio. Had Topi Häkkinen, obviously series champion. We have got speed. Some upcoming events. So we come back from the break, we'll go directly into some GRC Live interviews. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer. All right, we're here at Charlotte at the Dirt Track with GRC Live Radio. We've got Dave Mira in studio. How's everything going, Dave?
You know what? It couldn't be going better. I'm in a new car, Pro Drive built, Mini RX, and it is insane. It really is just a great car for this particular track. Not that it's not a great car all around, but it's really, really amazing right now. There's a little bit of grip issues with a little bit of rain, but you don't feel it in the Mini. It's really unbelievable. So I'm laughing.
Well, it's got to have you pretty excited to be able to carry over, you know, Puma sponsorship and stuff to this ride with, you know, Pro Drive. And it's got to have you excited for the last couple races of the year.
You know what? No, nothing's set in stone yet, but I'm very, very excited to be here. And Puma helped me out. And we honestly got this all sorted really in the last maybe 3 to 4 weeks, maybe not even 4 weeks. It was really a quick turnaround. But to be here and have my own service park and, well, not service park, maybe just service tent. But anyway, it's great to have my own situation. My wife and kids are here. Pro Drive are just, they're really, really nice. They're awesome. They know what they're doing. And they've been very, very cool to me in terms of what do you need. If you need anything, let us know. It's really just a great mutual respect, and it's awesome. I couldn't ask for anything better here in Charlotte this weekend.
I was going to say, you can see that. You can see the interaction, whether it be on the practice day, the test day that we just had, and out there. At practice, it's really cool to see you guys all interact, and everyone seems so happy. Everyone's like lighting up and really pumped to see you out there driving.
Yeah, I know. You got like, you know, a grin a mile wide right now. I mean, you know, you've driven a lot. I mean, stage rally, obviously, you know, and then you went into the rally cross type of thing. You've driven, you know, quite a few different vehicles. I mean, how's this car compare to what you've, you know, driven in the past?
Well, I got to thank Subaru for you know, doing what they've done for me for the years. I mean, I started with Subaru, and this is my first race to ever be in a car that's not a Subaru built by Vermont Sports Car. So this is just a huge breakthrough for me to be in something that's just totally different. It is a WRC rally car made for GRC. So
yeah.
It's the balance, the weight, the braking, the way it shifts, just everything is just really, really clean, and it's well-developed. So, I mean, to be here and have kind of a new beginning, it's crazy.
Now let's talk about a little bit about your test day, and the track is a little different than when it was out there and when you were practicing. How does the car feel with the comparing the two?
You know what? I thought it was going to be like icy, kind of slick out there today, but unbelievably that car is just hooking up. There's obviously certain places you got to stay. Anything tight and any corner is there's a lot of grip, and I found it on this big sweeper corner. You know, the one and, or I guess it'd be three and two and three, but I mean, it's getting more grip. I can't even believe it. I mean, it's just pinned. And
And
that find that grip in a situation like this, because clay is very, very slick. So
right.
it's unbelievable.
Well, that's good. No, it just is interesting to compare. And I think it's awesome for two different kind of environments, two different elements you guys have had. It was more of a the little slick on the side, it seemed like in testing in between split turn and one and two, there's a little bit of slick, but that was more coming off of the concrete into the dirt there.
Yes, it gives, you know, and I thought today would be, yesterday it was a little bit when they watered in the beginning, but actually today you can come in pretty hot and still get it figured out to stay tight. Staying tight on this big 3-4, or I guess it'd be 2-3, is important. If you go out a little bit, and you can see other drivers, you go a little bit wide, you're done. You're going to lose a ton of time. But if you stay tight and just commit to that line, it's unbelievable.
What do you think the future is for you and in pro drive or any kind of combination thereof?
Well, we're going to go to the table, and hopefully we'll pull something off. I really, really want to back it up and prove myself in the mini and have a great race here. So it's a great opportunity for me. I'm not going to let anything slip through the cracks for sure. And after this race, go to work and talk with ProDrive. Got to thank Liam for letting me use his car. This is,
yeah,
you know, his normal car, and I think that's pretty awesome. And Liam's been really cool about it. Puma, we'll just talk. We'll try to figure it out. But obviously, racing is pretty expensive, so we'll see.
Yeah, man, the car looks freaking awesome out there. The blue is outstanding,
yeah,
and it's just such a different delivery. Is awesome to see it in a bright blue and the black, and it's going to really flash on TV.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how you do. I think, you know, obviously this course looks like it's suited to that car super well. And, you know, I mean, you've been with GRC from the start, you know, and you know, what is you as a driver, I mean, what's the biggest challenge competing in the GRC? I mean, I think you've done every single round of the GRC since the series was, you know,
New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest thing, and it seems like they're really, really cracking down on it, is just the aggressive driving in the first corner. I'm really happy that they're starting to take that a little more serious, because I think when it all started, it was like, oh, yeah, it's bumper cars, and you're allowed to hit people. Well, I think it kind of got taken a little too serious, or maybe a little too far. And, I mean, who wants to go to the first corner and not know if you're going to make it out? Why don't we just race and have some gentlemen's racing? Yeah, you can bump, and you can still get around, and you can be aggressive, but why would you want to win a race because you just took two people out and just got away? That, to me, just doesn't work in my mind. I like to do things the right way and feel good about it, whether it's a BMX contest back in the day, or, you know, if you're running or, you know, whatever you do. Just it's awesome to feel better to take that home and keep that memory forever. But if it's a little bit somehow it's got an asterisk next to it, then you're kind of like, well, that's really didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Why don't we just all race? And if you don't get the first corner, don't come in hotter than you really can make it and knock somebody off the track. Just go, you know what, I'm in second. Now I'm going to work my way back. I want to race.
Yeah.
Outrace the guy. Don't just knock him off the track and go, yeah, well, he's out of the race now. I just think there's too much of that, and it's really cool that they've taken that very, very serious and kind of cutting it back and bigger penalties. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no, and I think a lot of people around here would say the same thing that you just said and really take it into gentleman's racing, if you will, and take that into account.
Well, one question before we go. Everybody wants to know, how often are you still on a bike?
You know, this is kind of crazy, but I think I maybe rode Father's Day last year with my daughters, went out to the warehouse. But I haven't ridden, I've probably ridden three times since my last event in July 2011.
Yeah,
maybe three times.
Any itch to go and do events here and there once in a while just for old time's sake?
You know, I just did an amateur boxing event up in Syracuse, so that was good for me. That kept me going.
Amateur boxing.
Yeah.
See, that's legit right there.
Yeah, I won a full USA boxing. I won the fight, and it was scary because I didn't know anything about the kid, but I was sitting there, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't trained a lot lately. I mean, I train. I do a lot of half Ironman training, and I've done three half Ironmans this year. I'll do one next weekend in Augusta, Georgia. So I'm kind of slacking on my training here this week because I'm really loving this car. So it's hard to cross focus, but I don't miss BMX. It's kind of funny because when I was a kid, I always wanted to see how high I could go. Now it's like I'm trying to stay low to the ground and go fast, whether it's in a car or on a road bike or running or swimming.
I think it's awesome. I think that's what makes our guys so unique. Is you guys are in so many different things. You guys are able to. I want to do a fitness story on you. I want to learn about what fitness routines you have going on. And I do triathlons myself, so
cool.
It would be awesome to kind of take it and learn. I don't do Ironman, my gosh, no. I do like sprint stuff, but it would be cool to talk it and understand it a little better from your guys' perspective.
Oh, for sure. Anything. I mean, I have a pretty cool coach that's out in California. He's a pro triathlete, and we're actually going to go to Kona and support two of my friends. So me, my wife, and kids will go to Kona and watch the World Championships and see all the real deal pros like do this toughest race in the world. So I'm excited about that. So I love that, and I love the training on a day-to-day basis. Being in this car is definitely, I'm here to focus, and I love that feeling.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking the time on GRC Live Radio, and we'll catch up with you later.
Great. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you. See you. Yep. Bye-bye.
just a great interview with Dave Muir that we had at the GRC Live Radio, and it very cool. You could hear the rallycross cars in the background and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we literally were trackside. You know, I want to say, you know, probably 10, 15 yards off the track behind the catch fence, filming or, you know, or recording GRC Live Radio in these interviews. It was very, very cool. And, you know, kind of, you know, we had some people beforehand. Well, it's going to be noisy. And, you know, Kate and I, you know, she's absolutely a great co-host, by the way. If you're not following her on Twitter or Instagram, it's at KTM Osborne. You need to be following her. You know, it was kind of interesting because both of us looked at each other and said, well, this is rallycross. This is racing. Let's get those noises in the background. You know, we're not recording this in a studio. We're at a track. Let's, you know, embrace, you know, the racing sound. So it ended up being a great interview with Dave. We're going to go to actually race winner Scott Speed interview here in about 2 seconds. So had a great time doing GRC Live Radio. All right, we're back from the break. We've got Scott Speed here at GRC Live Radio with Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne. How's it going, Scott?
It's going good. How about you guys?
We're good.
Doing all right. trying to stay dry.
Oh, who
it's
you kidding?
It's rallycross, I tell you.
Yeah.
You guys
beautiful.
Are got a plush setup here.
Yeah,
right. Got a tent. That's good. Good start.
Yeah. So how's everything been going? I mean, you know, let's talk about, you know, this year. I mean, obviously, you know, you won the big one right out of the box, got X Games gold around your neck. And, you know, how's been the transition to rallycross for you?
It's been fun. It's been, you know, obviously met a lot of really cool guys. Everything's gone really well. I think this thing is one of those things where, you know, even if you are super fast that weekend, there's certainly no guarantees that you're going to end up even in the final with the way the races work out. So it's extremely entertaining from that standpoint, and it just hasn't really gone our way this year so far other than the first race. So hopefully we can come finish the year strong and have some good results. But in any case, it's been a great ride. We've had a lot of fun doing it, and, you know, it's been cool to be part of the sport as it grows.
Yeah, and part of the sport, obviously, this is a little bit of a hometown for you here in Charlotte, is where you guys, your family resides, and you even had a birthday party around the area yesterday for your daughter. And, you know, what's it like being here in Charlotte, North Carolina, having a race?
It's fun. Charlotte's always a great time for us. It's the first time I've definitely filled up all of my friend passes for the weekend. I got a lot of people coming, so it's a good time because I get to, you know, obviously I have a lot of friends outside of motorsports that get to come and check it out once a year when we come to town for NASCAR or for this. So, you know, that's always fun to be able to bring them to the track and show them what I do on the weekends.
Yeah. That's got to be cool, you know, kind of the hometown favorite type of thing, and, you know, extra big cheering section for you.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a hometown feel for me.
Well, that is great, and I know that you've actually kept pretty busy here over the course of the last couple of weeks. It sounds like in Charlotte you've had a parade to go to, some autograph signings, and it's just neat to have you on board here, especially with Charlotte being such a cool place for you in general. How does the car feel out there? What is it different from?
Slippery.
Is it a little slippery out there? Is that the rain, or is the car?
Yeah, I think we're pulling the chute for the day. It was good just to get some laps out there. There's some blind corners where you got to go up and over the wall of the track, which are really cool. It was important to just do a couple laps in just to see where they are, and then we'll wait for tomorrow for the track to dry up and to have some grip before we go back out there and really start running the car in anger.
Angry cars, huh? But, you know, you as a driver, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, this is a little slicker than normal. I mean, you know, we're hoping it dries out by tomorrow. I mean, as a race driver, what kind of adjustments do you have to do to run on something, you know, like this?
Slow down more. There's nothing in particular. It's just slippery. You just got to go slower. It's not, and it's a little bit more unpredictable as well. The grip level changes, you know, from one lap to the next, and from one place on the track to the other. There's, you know, a pretty big discrepancy in grip. So, as a driver, I think when it's super wet like this or really slippery, it's more about finding the right place to run than anything else.
Well, let's talk about these cars for a minute, because, you know, you always hear the comparison, you know, GRC cars, fastest cars, you know, aside from drag racing on Earth, you know, they're a hair faster than a Formula One car, you know, on acceleration, they say. And, you know, you're the one guy that's actually, you know, had time in both. I mean, you know, is there anything in Formula One you've been able to carry over into GRC?
There's not much that you've carried over from anything, honestly, in racing. I think the biggest you know, carryover, I guess, is running go-karts, especially shifter carts. I think that carries over almost identically. You drive these things very similar to you drive a shifter cart. The difference being that these things, you know, are a lot heavier. They have suspension. They're actual race cars. But a lot of the things, you know, feel a lot like a shifter car.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm kind of curious, too, just the comparison. I've always wondered that, though, ever since we saw you in Brazil. Kind of curious at the carryover. And obviously there isn't much of a carryover what you've learned. But
yeah, from shifter carts, which I have obviously a lot of time grew up racing, they're very, very similar. From NASCAR stuff, not a lot of similarity. From F1, no similarity. Downforce is a big changer of a lot of things. So when you have none of it, a lot of things change.
Yeah.
So rest of this year, obviously, you know, we've got you here at Charlotte. We're going to see you at Vegas. And any plans for next season already?
We're working on it. I think there's a lot of teams interested in joining the GRC. And, you know, I think, you know, barring what happens there, we'll see. But I know a lot of guys are working hard at it. I'm excited for hopefully another opportunity to step up the program into something, you know, more permanent, you know, to have a real proper shot at it. So we'll see. Hopefully we can put something together.
All right. You got anything, Kate?
Oh, I'm good. look at that smile. Yeah. No, we look forward to seeing you out there tomorrow and seeing what you can do on the track.
Yeah, I think it should be a fun event looking at the course. So looking forward to seeing you guys get angry, as you say.
I know. Angry driving.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank
you.
Take it easy, Scott. Thanks. All right, just another great interview on GRC Live Radio. We've just, Kate and I were able to nail a bunch of these out. I mean, I don't know how many drivers we interviewed, but we're going to air two more for you in the remaining time on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. Here is Bucky Lassick and Sever Isaacson. Just a comedic interview because, one, Bucky is Bucky, one of the greatest personalities in the GRC paddock. And, you know, as we open up, you've got to know he actually keeps the microphone, is comedy. And then you've got Sever, who is European, and he's absolutely the most serious guy you've ever met on the racetrack. And, you know, he's just a serious guy, but we were able to, you know, he was being funny and comedic, you know, on air. And it was, I wish we had it on video so you could see this, you know, the facial expressions, because it was totally kind of almost out of character for Sever. And it made it really, really interesting. So definitely worth the listen.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to GRC Live Radio. We've got Bucky Lassick and Isaacson in
the mic
studio.
Over there. Yeah, hello.
Is this how it goes?
Yeah. We got Bucky on the microphone. And anything can happen. Anything and everything will happen on GRC Live Radio.
Right there.
That is Bucky.
Yeah.
Bucky right there, guys.
That's
Hi,
what
you
a how many time X Games champion sounds like on
try
the radio?
My mom said I had a face for radio.
Oh, well, you just tried to eat a mic, so I don't know.
Well,
anyway,
good mommy.
How's everything been going, guys? What do you guys think of the track? I mean, you know, how the cars handling out there?
The track was quite nice in there. It was there a little bit earlier today. Oh, you mean this track?
Oh, that track over there.
Yeah, dirt track. Okay. Now that was.
We like to call it the dirt track these days.
Yeah,
dirt track. Yeah. Oh, slippery.
Yeah.
Bumpy. New track again. So we'll see what's happening tomorrow. It's raining now and a little bit slippery, but it's okay.
Yeah, it was fast. Fast track when it was dry and pretty technical.
Yeah. So. Well, what did you compare the difference between your practice day and the test day? And you know, those are two totally different tracks, really, with your guys' cars.
Yeah, on Thursday on the practice, the track was starting to be fast. It was packed good, and my feeling was really good. It was a nice track, funny track to drive.
Yeah.
But on Friday, I was almost crying when I coming here in the morning. Then I rip up the whole track again. So
well, you know, just keeping it real, you know, and just making sure everyone's paying attention to what's going on out there.
Making it exciting for you guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they like to change it up for us, make it a challenge. So it's quite a challenge. They changed the Joker a little bit. I think they put in a better spot, one that works better.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Widened turn one, so it's not such a cluster on the start. So let's hope that works.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely something that people have been mentioning, that they'd like to have adjusted a little bit. And so I'm glad that turn one kind of got readjusted, as you guys say.
Got to be exciting for you guys. I mean, you know, obviously Subaru's had a couple podiums now with Sever, and you know, I know you've been, you know, running, you know, quicker and quicker every single event. It's got to be exciting for you guys to, you know, see the cars come along, you know, this far in the season and actually, you know, kind of hitting their stride.
Yeah, it is. We've definitely hit a stride. We found some good stuff with the cars in between races, and you know, myself, I've been busy hustling the wheel a lot, so I feel up to speed and I'm ready to race good in Charlotte.
Yeah. We developed on the car the whole time. You know, we were starting last year, and then we were 3 seconds behind per lap, and now we are almost equal, and we sometimes have better time. So, but it's a big job, and we're doing some small things every time. So it's faster and faster. That's good.
Now running two cars here together, do you guys get a chance to like work together, or are you guys comparing stats, figures, or as a team, is it more of an... Yeah,
team. My team?
Oh, wait. And let me introduce you guys. Sorry.
You're on my team. He's on my team.
Sorry about that. No, do you guys get a chance to talk about it? Is it, or is it more, you know, you, Sucky, you're, you know, straight edge with yours, and you guys, how does that work?
No, Sver likes a quite different setup than I like, but we're pretty close. I mean, I could definitely probably drive his car, and he could drive my car fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
We try to, if you see something, then of course we tell each other.
Yeah.
It is maybe better, or this is... We can try that, this one.
Yeah, usually it's coming from, you know, me, since I'm so experienced. I'm always telling Sver what to do.
All in good fun there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, though, I mean, you know, recently I know you're in a formula car. I mean, you know, you're go-karting all the time. You're up at Dirtfish. I mean, you're trying to get as much seat time as you can.
Yeah, it's tough in the supercars. You know, the cars are just so temperamental. You can't get a lot of seat time. And I got a chance to jump in a couple open wheel races, and I actually won the national championship up in Sonoma. So,
yeah,
you know, the racing's there. It's just, you know, getting seat time in this car, and it's working out now. So I'm up to speed, you know, in qualifying and stuff, and I'm touching the top five in qualifying time. So I hope to keep that, the momentum going.
It's going well for Bucky.
Yeah.
The new man.
Yeah, new man.
New man.
How do you think it's really helped to have the additional testing and, you know, practice this week to get in the car and compare, or is it just, you know, you need the racing, or what
is
it exactly?
No, it totally helps, especially when we can practice on the actual course. You know, sometimes we're testing and we're just in a parking lot with some cones, and it helps to feel the car out, and it definitely helps for me to get acclimated to the car once again and just get my bearings, you know, and feel, you know, feel comfortable in the car.
Yeah. You're thinking. It looks that was a very pensive.
Yeah, I'm thinking of it. No, he has a really good progress now for the last two races, especially after the last time. Where is that?
Yeah, it was very
good. Tell you was going to the shop, and he was testing. I say he was going to the shop.
What?
You were going so slow.
Oh, no.
Yes?
He calls me, he thinks, like, when he describes my driving, he's like, one-handed on the wheel and then the other hand on the
radio.
On the radio. He's like, you're too smooth, you're too laid back. He grabs, like, you know, he grabs in between his legs, and he's like, oh, you need more of this.
We had Scott Speed on earlier, and he called it angry driving.
Yeah,
a little angry driving.
But, yeah, I take it all in, you know. I'm all ears, you know. I'm definitely new to rallycross, and it's been a great season and a half.
Yeah,
you're learning fast.
So,
I was gonna say, because you're learning new, and you actually, you know, had the episode of Top Gear this week, so mm-hmm. you were on national TV doing some television with rallycross. How was that experience for you, especially as a new driver?
It's cool, you know. I'm slowly gaining the respect from, you know, rally and all the guys that have been doing it for years. They, you know, a lot of the guys look at me like, oh, I'm a skateboarder. What's mm-hmm. he doing driving for Subaru? But if they do their homework, they see how much seat time I actually have in other cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am new to rallycross, so I take a little bit of hit here and there for it. But I think it's all in due time. You know, I gotta be patient. Developing a car, I'm also developing as a driver. So, you know, it's tough at times, but Sver is great to work with. He's a national champion himself for years in Europe, and you know, I listen to what he says.
Sure. And you're such an aggressive driver, Sver, as we just learned, anyways. But like you do get after it. You.
I want something, you know.
Yeah. No, and that's what I think is so cool. Each of you drivers have such a unique personality, and you can see it, you know, as you said, in the car, and mm-hmm. you can see your aggression when you get out there. And is that from your European, you know, style of racing? Is that what that comes from, you think? Because in rallycross here in the States, it's kind of only building that momentum with that aggression and that getting after it kind of.
You need to believe what you. Also, I want to win, not go for second place. So you need to be on the limit the whole time. and also stay on the right side on the rules.
Yeah.
But in Europe, it's really, really hard competition on the top. It's a lot of good drivers, and we know the track, we know the guys, we know the judge, we know everything, so we need to push 110%. So that's the reason now we're starting to get a better car, mm-hmm. and now we're starting to push.
Yeah.
So we need to have something to push with. So this year will be a really great year to have a progress with the Subaru, and now we're starting to push.
Yeah.
I have a chain that I'm tying to the back of his car. And I'm just gonna pull me through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, two races left. We've got Charlotte here, and we've got Las Vegas. What are goals for the last two races? You know, top two in both races.
Yeah. No, it's two races.
Obviously, his is a win.
Top here and top in Vegas. That's two victories.
Yeah.
Oh, there you have it.
Now that the car is where it is, there's no reason why we shouldn't be fighting for podiums.
Yeah, of course.
That's very true.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time on GRC Live Radio, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks,
thank you,
guys.
Thank you.
Yep,
appreciate
thanks.
All right, that was another just great interview, and Bucky Lastic. You know, he's earned a lot of respect for me as both a driver and a person. I mean, you know, he gives back to the fans. He's just a great guy to be involved in any series, and nobody you know, behind the scenes works harder at his driving craft than Bucky Lastic. Like I said, I mean, he's at Dirt Fish Rally School. He's in go-karts. He's in formula cars. He's behind the wheel of anything anybody will let him drive, just trying to get better at global rallycross. And I think it's really showing as he's coming into his own as a driver. And, you know, I definitely think here in the next year you're going to see him start taking some podiums. You know, a lot of respect for what Bucky is, you know, how far he's come as a rallycross driver. So, we're going to cut to one more quick interview with Toby Häkkinen and Patrick Sandell.
Blessing.
All right, we're here back with GRC Live Radio with Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne. We've got Patrick Sandell and series points leader Toby Häkkinen. How's everything going, guys?
Yeah, it's going well. Yeah, still a little wetty light round, but it's still the track looks good. This profile is quite nice. I think tomorrow, if it's dry, we're going to have a great race.
Yeah, the track looks really nice, and I like the part going out from the track and then fly in again. So it's a really nice track.
What was that like on the first lap you did that today?
It's absolutely first lap. I thought I got the feeling that the car was standing down there because I did, you know, you don't see down. So that was the first feeling, and then I tried to find a place to like focus on, and then we have a Charlotte sign, so I focus on that Charlotte sign and just try to fly as long as possible.
Fly as long as possible. I feel like that's a great way to describe it, but I've never heard it said that quite like that before.
Yeah.
So this was your first time out on the track. Some of the other guys got a chance to test earlier this week. You know, do you think that was a positive that you guys got out there today, and how does it compare to those who have been out twice already?
I don't care. It's like it doesn't matter. The car drivers row on Thursday here, but I just like to save my car until Sunday, and I think Sunday is on race day, and that's what we concentrate right now. And I think that's why we don't go out on Thursday.
I think it's a bit same for me. Save the car and try to focus on why we're here, and that's the race on Sunday. And what I realized from during the year is that if we have too much practice, like we had in Brazil, and you know it's only like 8-9 corners, and if I do 8-9 corners, same lap 3 days in a row, I get bored. So I save it for Sunday and go fully out on the race.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it is great. I mean, you know, obviously you guys with OMSC, you both have had great years. I mean, Toppy's got, you know, 5 wins in a row now. I know, Patrick, you know, you know, not only you've got X Games medals in Rallycross, but you've got X Games medal in Gymkhana Grid. I mean, you know, looking back on the season, are both of you pretty excited about the way things have gone?
I think Toppy is more excited than me. but overall, for me, it's my first season in rallycross. I've done so many miles of stage rally. So driving-wise, I'm happy. But I need to figure out this first corner thing, and I hope I have done it now. So hopefully I can survive that one tomorrow at the final and then go from there. So, but overall, okay, I'm quite happy with the year.
Yeah, and for me, it's 2 X Games gold medals in this year. Compared to last year, it's like a little better one, I think. Yeah. So, and we have like a 5 win on the row right now, and it feels good, of course. But I'm really looking forward to get the championship I need only 1 point, and then it's done, thanks to my Blue Beam and my sponsors.
Well, I was kind of curious, just talking to some of the other drivers, is your personalities, are they seen when you're driving? And I think it's very evident you guys' kind of different personalities that you each have. But, you know, Patrick, you kind of, when you're talking to you, you come off as you're very intuitive and you're very, do you take that into the car? Is it you're very mellow? You relax in the car? Do you become really aggressive? Because I cannot, it's hard to see you as a very aggressive person.
I am very aggressive.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. But, I mean, it's interesting because you're very, I would be curious to know how you guys take your personalities into the car.
I think that you could see it a bit on the track, but you have to put it together and try to be smooth and try to be fast and focusing on the key points on the track, and then okay, if you're an aggressive driver, maybe you can gain on some places, and if you are maybe more relaxed driver, you can gain on some other places. So in the end of the day, I think you need to be aggressive.
Yeah. No, you do. I just.
Yes. It's been the theme of today. We call it angry driving. That's the theme of today, right?
Yeah, I just find it very interesting to hear how people are in the car.
Yeah. And Toppy, I mean, you know, we don't want you to give away any of your secrets, but you know, you've become this year, you know, the guy that gets out of the first corner, you know, either in the lead or darn near close. I mean, you got any top secrets that you're you know, you're keeping to yourself about that first corner?
No, I keep it in myself right now, but I don't know. It's the karting background is great for me, and you know, in the cold cars there's like many cars same time on the track, and it's helping a little bit from this sport also. And I think that's what has been the key in this year, and of course Wolfgang MSI has made a huge job on the car, and it's fast and it's unbelievable.
Well, and for both of you, I mean, how's it been, you know, Andreas Eriksson? I mean, he's a legend. He's, you know, one of the best. You know, how's it been, you know, having him as a boss? I mean, being able to talk to somebody like that with that amount of experience.
It's good. It's especially good for me that comes from another type of driving background. And to get his knowledge and also the full team with the background they have so much experience together. So it's a big help for me instead of, you know, getting my own car and try to do my own show. So that's been really helpful for, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Even for me, it's like I made a huge champ, like a huge crash in last year here in LA, and that's why he trusts me a lot, and that's why I'm here in this year and also, and thanks for the Andreas for that.
Do you ever think about that? I remember one of the first questions I asked you at X Games Brazil this year is obviously coming off of, you know, last year's experience. How many times does that creep back into your brain, that experience at LAX Games?
Not at all.
Not at all?
No.
God, I want that mentality. Keep all that stuff in the past. That's awesome.
All right, so two races left. You know, obviously you want 7 wins. How about you, Patrick? You want to dethrone him and yeah.
I think I will take 2 wins now.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. There's the team rivalry.
But the second position for you is like a win.
Yes.
Oh, that's where you get the team rivalry.
All right. Well, all good times here. Thank you guys for taking the time on GRC Live Radio. Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne, appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, just, really good times on GRC Live Radio we had. And Kate, just a great co-host, like I said, at KTM Osborne on Twitter and Instagram. Had a great time. If you didn't hear the full show, definitely worth listening to. We had a ton of interviews that I didn't air here today. I can tell you, upcoming guests, obviously next week, Carl Rennesetter, Bryce Menzies, and I believe we have Toby Häkkinen also calling in. So a couple short course racers, global rallycross racer. Bryce does both and desert racing. Should make for a slam-packed show. At some point, we're going to have the guys that won the Extreme Rally in Kingman, Arizona a couple weeks back. They're going to be calling in for an interview at some point. And also, I know sometime in the future, we are going to have Dave Mira there and Lassick as well. So should be great. Upcoming events, we're stacked this weekend. We've got the Torque race. We've got the Nora/Code race. We've got World Rally Championship for France. The Powder Puff race coming up. The Off-Road Expo. The Blue Water Challenge. Formula Drift from Irwindale. The Lake Superior Rally. The Monster Energy Cup on the Supercross side. And we've got GRC Vegas coming up the 1st of November. So slam-packed month coming up here with events on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Give me a follow on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well. We're facebook.com/downanddirtyshow @JimBeaver15 Twitter and Instagram. Got to give a big shout out to Speed Energy. Check them out at speedenergy.com. Arizona Ford dealers, check out the latest deals and incentives through Ford today. Blue Water Resort and Casino on Wake Ward Island. Racetech Seats, racetech-usa.com. Check out upr.com for the latest in safety specials in motorsports apparel. KC Highlights, industry-leading lives. I've got to thank Chris Leone for calling in from Global Rallycross. Got to thank Global Rallycross and my co-host for GRC Live Radio, Kate Osborne. Hope you all have a great week. We'll be back next week. Carl Rennesitter, Bryce Menzies, and Topi Häkkinen. Have a great rest of the week.